So we hope to get back to the Gospel of Matthew next week, but we will turn to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Verse 5 is really our theme verse, and even within that, just a part of the verse is really what we'll be looking at tonight with this topical sermon. But I'd like to read verses 1 through 5, and I'll quickly touch on a few things there, but we'll focus on verse 5 this evening as we're preparing to enter into a new year together in just a few hours. Revelation 21, 1 to 5, focusing on verse 5. Hear now the word of God, including in verse 5, directly out of the mouth of God on his throne. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Let me read verse 5 again. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. Well, guess what? You know that quote that I could not find last week for the evening sermon? I tried so hard. The whole sermon was supposed to be based on that quote, and I could not find it. Well, Elder Renner found it. Guess where he found it? David Murray's book, Reset, in the chapter called Relax, page 91. The book which I actually brought home from the morning and scoured through and didn't see it. Well, I'd like to share with you that quote that I was thinking of, and I'm thankfully did find it because it would have continued to kind of just sit back there driving me nuts. You know, where was it? I know I read it. I didn't imagine this. Somehow I didn't see it, but here it is. I'd like to share it with you this evening, and I thank you, Elder Renner, for finding it for us. Thinking of Mark 14, verse 8, that was our theme verse last week. The message being, love Jesus and do what you can. David Murray writes, She has done what she could. Quoting Jesus, Mark 14, 8. She has done what she could. Don't you just love Christ's words to Mary when she anointed his head? What an expectation killer. Every time the despotic devil, other people, or your tyrannical conscience demands more than you can give, remind them of Jesus' calming words. She has done what she could. I would have just loved to have that verse last week, that scripture last week. Somehow I couldn't at that time see what I did have highlighted. I had it. I think I was like right at that page somewhere. But that was to highlight the point. I understand the Lord didn't let me see it. I know I'm not blaming him, but I trust I was allowed to be blinded so that it would highlight the point. You do what you can. You offer up what you can. Here tonight, we do what we can again, trusting that though we often feel old, and in the same old ruts. The reality is that God is doing a new work in us. God is doing a new work in us all the time, especially as we rediscover the old paths together. Think of what the metaphor Paul gives to us in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. He tells us to put on what? The new man. Put on the new man. This is not trying to say, be born again yourself. You can't do that, right? He's not saying to be a new man. He's saying put on the new man. He's saying Christ has made you a new man. So put on more of the new man. Dress better for the present. Dress better for the future of who you are in Christ as you put off what? The old man. As you put off the old man more and more. So just picture that as you enter into the new year tonight, beloved, to take more of the old man off and lay it aside. Don't leave it in the hamper like some of we men like to do with old t-shirts that should have been thrown away a long time ago. It's time to put it into the garbage can. Put on more of those new clothes that you got that you never really put on and recognize, oh, you're actually starting to fit them better. Probably should have put them on last month, 2 months ago. Put on more of the clothes of the new man. That is another way of putting it. Paul says in Romans 13, verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Die more to your old man by dying more to yourself, crucified in Christ. And the life that you now live, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Live more in him, remembering your lives are hid with Christ in heaven at the right hand of God. Set your affections more on things above and not on earthly things. Dress yourselves more for your present reality, for your present person. Dress according to who you are now, new creations in Christ. That was the theme verse of our book that we just finished, Remember Wednesday Nights, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, this isn't something future. This is something now. It's got a future ahead of us, but it's a present reality. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, once again. If you are in Christ, beloved, you already are a new creature. You already are a new creature. Your old man's already passed away effectively. Behold, as is said in our text tonight, behold, all things are become new. You know, put those new clothes on, look in the mirror, and see that you are a new person. In our text, verse 5 of Revelation 21, God authoritatively speaks directly to the church and says to write this down as faithful and true so you do not forget, so you do not doubt. He is presently renewing all things in you unto the church by Christ for himself. This word new, he says, I make all things new. He has the idea of something that's recently been made. You know that great feel of when you take something right out of the shop and you peel the plastic off or you smell it. Or we talk about the new car smell. I think you can even get those little spray bottles to try to refresh that sense of a new smell. Breathe it in. It's like something recently made. Something quite new is the feel and the idea of this word new. It could sometimes maybe the idea of strange, but strange in the sense of peculiar. After all, has God not made you a peculiar people? Renewed. Different. We are in a theme here in the sixth triumph of the seventh heptad in Revelation. Now, let me review that. It's been a few years since our Wednesday night Revelation study, and I am relying a bit on some of my notes for that. A heptad means a group of seven. The Revelation is broken up into seven groups of seven, each telling the same story from different vantage points. Sometimes the lens is zooming in, sometimes it is zooming out, but it's reflecting and discussing the same story seven times. Seven being the number of completion, sense of perfection, trustworthy, true. So we're in the last of the seven heptads, and we're in the sixth of that group of sevens. And that group of sevens is something we saw labeled as the triumph of the covenant of grace. The triumph of the covenant of grace. It goes from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 17, if I've got that right in my notes. I might have mistakenly written that. Might be, let me see here. I think it's actually verse 27 it should be, not verse 17. That's a typo. Pardon me, but I don't want to mislead you there. So that group of sevens there, the sixth of this last group of sevens, the triumph of the covenant of grace. So we see all this newness describing the triumph of being in the church and what we will fully experience at Christ's return. But what we want to recognize is what we're seeing as this vision of the finality of it all is already in the process of renewal for us here. But notice the theme of new. Verse 1, a new heaven, a new earth. Verse 2, a new Jerusalem. Now recognize, these are all metaphors for our abode as the church. A new Jerusalem. Verse 3, a new tabernacle or a new temple. Well, remember 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 says you are already the new temple, right? It's not going to be a new temple built in Jerusalem. It was always a type. It's gone. It was serving a point, and now it's gone because it was pointing to what Christ has brought. You are the actual temple of God. He dwells in you, Emmanuel, God with us. That's already the case. John 1:14, it says Jesus dwelt among us. He literally tabernacled in the Greek. He is the tabernacle. We are his tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. So what we're seeing in Revelation with this New Jerusalem, this new temple, this bride, all imagery of Jesus Christ's church, the fullness of it. But of course, that's something that's already begun, you see. Verse 4, thus we have a new song. We have new joy. Because we have a happy life without tears in heaven. Because there's no more death in the new heavens and the new earth. But that's already something that has begun for you, beloved. Because of the first resurrection, you see. The second resurrection, therefore, you will not taste of the second death. Because you already have a new life. That is, you've already been born again. That is, you have been reborn. You are newborn children in God. So verse 5, our text tonight, particularly, it harkens back to the throne room scene in chapters 4 and 5, where who's going to open the scroll and who's going to open the seal and make everything happen that's to come from the throne of God? Well, the answer is the Lamb of God. He's done this. It's in the process now of happening. So we see God on the throne again in our chapter 9. God is ruling presently. This is something the church needed to be reminded of. It didn't feel like it. It often doesn't look and feel like it today. But the reality is God is showing us He is presently ruling. He is presently renewing. It is already a work in progress, a process of renewal. He says, I make all things new. And again, that's not subjunctive. It's not this idea that I might or I will, I hope to. It's I'm doing it. I'm presently making all things new. The audience is who? The suffering church between the first and second coming of Christ. She needs to see this mystery behind the scenes that is revealed to her because it doesn't look or feel like this. We need eyes of faith informed by the Word, by the Spirit. That's why, again, we refer to it as the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is revealing these things to us the world's not looking at. And we need help to look at, but he's showing us the reality, the present reality. with its future completion coming soon. So we see back in chapter 19, Jesus is the one whose name is Faithful and True on his thighs. He's riding, conquering, and to conquer. But he's already conquering. Remember, his church is already going throughout the world, and the gates of hell cannot advance against her. He's already building this new kingdom of heaven in this world. This is the tension of the inauguration and the consummation of his kingdom. He came on a donkey, remember, the first time, and has inaugurated his kingdom already. The kingdom of God is in your midst because the king has come in our midst. But you see, he's coming again, Revelation 19, on a white horse when he comes back to finish the job, the consummation of his kingdom. And so there's a tension we feel, but we want to recognize the newness of this thing, being Christians, being newborns in this new kingdom. The already not yet experience, remember, of being Christians. We are already born again. We are already the temple of God. We are already being renewed and growing. We are already resurrected. And yet, there's a final bodily resurrection, and there's yet to be a completed new earth that we will inherit. There's yet to be a new heaven come down on earth. There's yet to be the fullness of this reality of being the temple of God, face to face with Jesus and our loved ones who've gone ahead before us, cheering us on now. Notice here, God is speaking from his throne. That's a big deal. Leon Morris points out, it's one of the few times in the book of Revelation that God is speaking directly. You know, often we have, thus saith the Lord, but one of the big reasons the Pharisees and scribes wanted to kill Jesus is he didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He just said, thus saith I. You've heard it said, but I say, you know, contradicting or correcting the human traditions that had perverted the word of God. And so we see here God very rarely, but in the Revelation here, he actually wants to speak for himself, not through the angels to John. He wants to speak himself here. The only other time we see it is probably 16 verses 1 and 17, definitely back in chapter 1 verse 8, but very rarely do we see God speak for himself, but here he does. You know what that's like, if you want to do it right, you go yourself, they say, right? You know, if I really want to make sure the message gets through, I'm going to go and speak in person. If I really want the person to be impressed with how significantly true and they can count on this, I will go myself to bring the message, my message. And that's what God is doing here. He is speaking himself. Consider when he has also done this. Exodus 20, verses 1 to 17 and 19. At the making of a new people, a redeemed people. Thus, he gives by his own mouth a new way of life. Here in our text, he personally is saying that he is now making us new. And that he is faithful to complete the work that he has already begun in us, as he says in Philippians 1, verse 6. He's saying that here, behold, I'm making all things new. I make all things new. Behold, look at yourself. Look at what I'm doing in you. Look for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Recognize it is presently happening. It is developing. Though it be as a mustard seed, it will become a tree. Though it's a little leaven, it will affect the whole. It's happening. It's a mystery, but it's happening. You might revisit what we've often looked at in the past, a series of lectures at my seminary that's available, at least it has been, in video form by Pastor Ted Donnelly out of Ireland, The Mystery of the Kingdom. He brings that to our attention. It's a thing that's hard to see, but it's there. And the kingdom is this mysterious thing, but it's developing as we speak. And before you know it, Christ is coming back, and it's fully developed. But we don't want to miss that there's this thing happening as we speak. You, not that I'm very familiar with baking, but you know, you put a little yeast, put a little plastic over the bowl with the yeast. What do you see in a little while? Well, the dough is rising. But what else? You see the air rising, and it's like a balloon over the bowl. It doesn't happen immediately, but it's happening, and you can't stop it. And that's what Jesus is telling us. That's what God is saying here. This is happening. I'm already making this happen. I'm making it happen in you. Behold it, see it, rejoice in it, grow in it. He wants it recorded as true and faithful. Look, I am here to testify to myself before my church. This is what I am doing. And then what does he say? Write it down. Well, we know when somebody says that, they want to make sure we don't forget. That's why we have shopping lists. That's why I tell my daughters, before I go out to shop, I really don't want to have to do this again this week. Would you please write it down? Go around everywhere and make sure you write it down so I can go through and cross through and I can know for certain. God is saying, church, write this down. This is a true and faithful saying out of my own mouth. Write it down. That's all true of what's being said, but here especially he's emphasizing it. Behold, I make all things new. What's the effect that he's going for us? The suffering, persecuted church between the first and second coming of Christ. What's the effect he wants this to have on us? That would grow more of that newness in our lives. We have more of a new attitude, more of a new song in our hearts about it, more of a new vantage point, a perspective on life. We need to be renewed. We need that before our eyes more because we tend to look down. We tend to walk by sight and not by faith. And he's saying, no, look anew, behold anew by faith. I'm doing this. Walk in this newness of life. He wants Christians to be confident. He wants you to trust him and try and expect new things as knowing they are already in their making in you and through you. Beloved, you are already being remade. You are already being renewed. Look forward to the fullness of this to come at the last day, but recognize it now and grow. Put on more of the new man. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, I know some of you are a bit ahead of me, but the older I get as a middle-aged man and the more my body, my outward man is absolutely perishing. I am encouraged to be called on to look inside and see that the new man is being renewed day by day. My body's dying, but my soul's growing, and I'm going to get a new body for it. A new spiritual body for my new resurrected soul that is younger and younger, you might see, stronger and stronger, growing in this newness of life God has given to me. How glorious to think on our deathbed we can be considering that, yet still our inward man is being renewed day by day, moment by moment, year by year, should we face as we do tonight the turning of a new year. Isaiah says this again, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God made you new, beloved, and he is constantly renewing you. Do we not need to hear that as a church? As we transition into a new year. And in some ways we say, well, that's nothing new. That's the same old thing. And yet we recognize at the same time he is renewing us. He's developing things in us. He's preparing us for yet another new year together. Write it down. It's almost New Year's. Write it down. On your hearts. Write this down. God's true and faithful New Year resolution for you as the clock soon strikes midnight. He is making all things new in you. Now, of course, the devil wants you to have just blocked that out. You don't understand. You know, if you just saw behind the scenes, you know, the devil does not want you to think that you have anything new. Nothing to look forward to. No new experiences. No new growth in the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you when that will be the case for you, Christian. When you're dead. Until then, you are having new growth all the time in your inward man. Because God says it. It's faithful and true. Write it down. He's making all things new. And isn't that grand? Because don't you and I need a new work in us yet again at this very moment? And the next moment and every ticking second of the clock. Oh, don't we need more and more newness? Praise the Lord, he's not done. And when we die, then we are perfected in glory in his presence, where there is fullness of joy at his right hand, where there are pleasures forevermore, and we'll be completely new then. And all we'll be waiting for at that point is our new bodies. He's making all things new in you. What new things might be in store for you in the new year that begins at midnight? That begins tomorrow. A new denomination? New visitors? New converts? New members? He's working on it. A new start on life, a new relationship, renewing relationships, a new lease on life. He's working on it. New ways, new thoughts, new habits. He's working on it. A new job, a new home. A new family, a new church, he's working on it. Due to Christ's blood of the New Testament, oh, sing a new song unto the Lord as we enter this new year, rejoicing in what will be fully fulfilled in our new bodies, in the new heaven. And the new earth. Write it down. It is faithful and true. And we are on our way there. Meanwhile, his mercies are new every morning, including the first day of the year, which frankly a lot of us need to hear during the lonely holiday season. His joy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness indeed. If you don't mind my saying a bit early, Happy New Year! Indeed, celebrate, beloved, for God is making all things new for you. And that is the message for you. For your families, for your church. May we pray possibly for our community, for our nation, as we remember to think and ask big and act upon those prayers. God is making all things new for you at this very moment. He testifies himself from his throne. Behold, I make all things new. God is making all things new for you. And let us thank him for it. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do confess that we often feel so very old, and so many things often feel so very old. We are blessed to see that you are always renewing us in the inward man day by day. Help us to put more of the new man on, to walk more in the newness of life, to be encouraged and excited that these are things you have already started, that are already developing in the process in us. Oh Lord, thank you for making us newborns in Christ. Thank you for giving us a new life in him. A life that will be consummated at the last day, but is something to live abundantly along the way as we follow you, Lord Jesus, who are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to sing your psalms as a new song on our heart for a new day that awaits us and a new year of our Lord. Here, as we celebrate the first day of the week, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of this newness of life at your second coming. In your providence, as it turns out, here, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, we are also looking into the end of this, the year of our Lord, and entering into the next year of our Lord as we wait for the return of you, our dear Lord. May you find us faithful, growing in newness of life, doing new works, always expressing that we are born again. Thank you, Almighty God, that you have not left us for dead, but that you have breathed life into us and given us a new life to live. Something that you are in the process of working out till that day that you return for us and raise us in our bodies, and we will live as your new tabernacle in New Jerusalem here on the new heavens and the new earth that we will inherit, wherein righteousness shall reign, and every moment shall be new, and there will be no darkness and no death, there will be no night, there will be no sea, it will all be an eternal new day. Thank you, Almighty God, for this true and faithful saying. Let it be written down in our hearts that we would not sin against you. Let it be written in our hearts that we would rejoice anew in you with a new song, as it were. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people said, Amen. Beloved, I'd like to ask you to turn with me, instead of what's in the bulletin, to pages 174 and 175 in the Psalter. Pages 174 and 175, Psalm 80. We're going to sing verses 14 through 19. So pages 174 to 175, Psalm 80. We won't start with verse 10 as it is printed. We'll begin with verse 14. And we're not going to sing this tune. We're going to sing another tune that Olivia and I kind of came up with in family worship this afternoon that we thought would be nice for us as we enter into the new year together. With these words, to a different tune, Auld Lang Syne. Would you please stand and worship with us? I do want to be clear, this was Olivia that you have heard to thank for what I think will be a nice way to close together. So we begin with verse 14, we'll sing through verse 19. It also Receive now God's blessing upon you to think and ask big, knowing he is working a new work in you, and he doth all things well. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.